You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In the wake of the 2008 economic meltdown, Greece was the first EU country to encounter serious trouble. In May 2010, the International Monetary Fund agreed to a 110 billion euro loan for Greece. The Greek bailout was followed by an 85 billion euro loan for Ireland in November, and a 78 billion euro loan bailout for Portugal in May 2011. And now Spain, too, seems to be teetering. Both the origin of the crisis and the handling of it have been controversial. Indeed, the solution to the crisis proposed by European authorities has led to riots in Greece and criticism abroad. To help us understand what is going on in Europe, we are joined on the phone by Mark Weisbrot. He is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He has written on the situation in Europe for The Guardian and The Nation. Mark joins me on the phone from Washington, D.C. Hello, Mark, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, can you describe what's been going on in Greece and how it got into this mess?
Well, all these countries got into this mess in the same way. Greece, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Latvia, Estonia, others. There was a financial crisis. First of all, a lot of these countries had bubble growth, just like we had in the U.S. We had an enormous housing bubble, and when that burst, consumption drops, investment drops, and the economy goes into recession. And so you had similar things in all of these countries. You had bubble growth in the Eurozone. And Greece has had a much harder time coming out of it, and all of the peripheral countries, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland as well, because they did the opposite of what we did. We had at least some stimulus here, and even though it wasn't near big enough to, restore employment, it still arrested the decline. And we also had a Federal Reserve that created $2 trillion of money since the recession began. And the European Central Bank, which all of these countries are governed by in terms of their monetary policy, is far to the right of our Federal Reserve. So they didn't have the fiscal policy or the monetary policy that they needed in order to get out of the recession. In fact, they had the fiscal policy, the spending, going in the wrong direction, and it still is. And then, of course, being stuck in the euro, they also they have no control over their exchange rate either, which is another way that you can get out of recession, is by letting your currency fall. So they just don't have any of the macroeconomic policies that they need, and as a result, all of these economies are in recession or very close to it, and Greece is still in recession.
Why have they been implementing these kind of macroeconomic policies? I guess with the euro, certain ones are restricted, but in terms of, you mentioned that the U.S. Central Bank created essentially more money, I guess. Why haven't the Europeans done that?
European Central Bank is just a much more right-wing central bank than ours. I mean, Bernanke's a Republican, but he's almost, compared to the people running the European Central Bank, he looks like a socialist. I mean, that's how far right they are. They just don't believe in it. I mean, it's partly ideological, and it's partly political in the sense that they're looking out for what they see as the creditors' interests there. And so they feel that these countries have to be punished. They borrow too much from their point of view. And they can't just, they could just bail them out if they want. They got over $1 trillion sitting in their bailout funds, and they've got the IMF money as well. So for Greece, it would be nothing to just give them an interest-free loan and let them, grow their way out of the recession, like most of the countries in the world did in 2009. Most countries in the world had some kind of stimulus, some kind of what economists call counter-cyclical policies to recover from the world recession, from their own recessions or economic weakness. But they're doing the opposite to Greece. They're punishing them, and they're taking advantage of them. You know, they want them to privatize 50 billion euros worth of assets, which means that big European corporations will get these things at fire sale prices, telecom, you know, other state-owned or partially state-owned companies. And they're, you know, they don't want to restructure the debt. That's the other thing. You know, Greece's debt is over 150% of their GDP. And the interest rates that they're borrowing at, it's explosive. There's no way they can pay it. Almost everybody knows this. I mean, the financial markets understand this. But the European authorities, which by that I mean the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF, those are the three authorities that are making these decisions for Greece. They're saying, no, you're going to pay the whole thing. There's not going to be any kind of default or restructuring or haircut or whatever you want to call it. And that's where the real problem is, because, you know, if you're going to squeeze these countries to pay off this debt, they could be like this indefinitely. We don't know where it ends.
It's interesting because you don't really hear a lot of challenges to their to that line that that they're putting out in terms of not being able to bail them out. And I'm wondering what kinds of challenges. I mean, in Greece, we hear of protests and things like that, but you don't see the reasons that are given very much for those protests. How is that playing out in Europe in the media?
Well, the European media is mostly as bad as here. I mean, there's, you know, it's all written. We don't want to exaggerate. Obviously, you know, here you have Paul Krugman in the New York Times. He's telling the truth about it, saying the same things I am. And you have, you know, also you have some, you know, some of the business press is more realistic in the sense that they want a restructuring because they know that Greece can't pay this debt. And they figure, you know, you might as well do it now, because if you don't, you could end up with a worse crisis. So you have that point of view. But what you don't have, what doesn't reach most of the people in either Europe or the United States, is just a simple analysis of the kind that I would give you, or Krugman or Joe Stiglitz, you know, both of them Nobel Prize winning economists, which says, look, you know, it's wrong and stupid to punish these countries just in order to squeeze them for the creditors, and that this is what's going on. It's generally framed in terms of, well, they got to tighten their belts because they have a big debt and they got to pay it off. And yeah, maybe it's tough and maybe they're, you know, maybe it's too much, but it's not really presented as though policymakers are making a choice and they're sacrificing these economies in order to prove a point and to protect what they see as the interests of their creditors.
And you've argued that Greece should actually leave the euro, and you've talked a little bit about why it should do that. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I never said exactly that they should leave. I mean, that was a little misleading because I wrote an op-ed for the New York Times and on this, and that was the headline they put on it. It said Greece should leave the euro. And what I said was they should threaten to leave and be prepared to carry it out if they have to. I don't think necessarily they would have to, because I think the Europeans don't want them to. You know, the Germans and the French and the people who are really controlling the IMF and the European authorities, I think that they would probably give in on a lot if Greece had a credible threat. But you never know. They might not. They're stubborn. And in that case, I think Greece should leave, because if they left, then they would be able to implement the policies that they need in terms of both expansionary fiscal and monetary policy. And they would let their currency devalue, which would increase their exports and reduce their imports. So you have all three of those basic macroeconomic policies that they could use if they were not stuck in the euro. So it has to be a consideration if the alternative is years and years of high unemployment, stagnation, and all these other conditions, including the privatizations and changing their labor laws and raising their retirement age and doing all these things that the European right-wing European authorities want them to do.
And what other kinds of things can Greece or Ireland or some of these other countries do to resist these kind of policies?
Well, they have to go in. They need governments that are willing to fight with the European authorities and say, look, you know, we'll default if you're going to do this to us. I mean, that's what, you know, Argentina did back in at the end of 2001. They defaulted on their foreign debt, and they also let the currency devalue, which is a very similar thing as getting out of the euro, right, because they were pegged to the dollar. And so they broke that. They let the currency devalue. And it was harsh. I mean, the financial system collapsed, but the economy only shrank for one quarter, and then they grew, 63% over the next 6 years, and they pulled 11 million people out of poverty. And, you know, you look at Greece, and they're not projected to even reach their pre-crisis level of output for another 9 or 10 years. And that's if things go well. So, I think that's the alternative that these governments have to put on the table to the European authorities, and then they have to be prepared to do it if the European authorities aren't going to give them any choice.
I guess one thing that just comes to my mind now is what happens if they follow the recommendations of the European authorities?
Well, they are doing that more or less. And they're not doing it completely, of course, because of the protests. You know, that's the limit that they have. You know, people are in the streets, and so they're not completely carrying out the program, but they're doing enough damage so that their economies can't recover. And that's what you'll see. You'll see stagnation, basically. You'll see this high unemployment, 15% in Greece, 15% in Ireland, 20% in Spain. This is not going to get much better for quite a while. Now, of course, they could get lucky. I mean, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you could have a big booming world economy. Europe, the rest of Europe grows. The U.S. starts growing really fast, and they get pulled out of it. That's kind of what I think the authorities are hoping for, is that the rest of the world economy can pull them out of it at some point. But it doesn't look likely for the foreseeable future. I mean, you never know, right? And that's why these decisions are tough, because, it would be, these governments would have to be tough to stand up to the creditors and the European authorities. And it's easier for them to just accept this and just say to their people, there's nothing we can do. And that's what they're doing. And that's where the media plays such a huge role, because by constantly framing it this way, that there aren't any alternatives, that helps the people, a lot of the people believe it. I think in Greece, probably the majority, believe that they don't have much choice. But it's not everybody, and it's not, there's a sizable part of the population, obviously, that is really angry about it. And of course, that's growing. So, I think there's definitely a chance that it leads to a confrontation, and Greece leaves the euro, and then maybe others too.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll be looking at what happens in the next while.
Sure, thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Mark Weisbrot. He is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington. You can read his article on the European economic crisis at thenation.com.